So can you tell me, like, how the choir got started? I think I kind of read that they had inspiration from just hearing, like, a little boy sing.
Yeah, yeah. Our founder, Ray Barnett, he was doing work with the persecuted church around the world back in the 70s, and that work initially took him to Uganda, and he'd been working there for some time with Christians that were being killed and writing political initiatives. And on one of those trips, he was asked to give a little boy a ride. And the little boy sang praise songs the whole time on the journey. And this little boy had lost both of his parents in the Civil War. So Ray was just completely captivated by the resiliency, the joy, and the hope, in spite of this little boy's circumstances, that would cause him to sing praise songs. And it was really that inspired him. He thought, if the West could just see the beauty, the dignity, the potential of the African child, they'd want to help. And so in 1984, he brought out the first choir, largely inspired by that one little boy. And here we are 34 years later. We've now helped educate 52,000 children, over 52,000 children.
Wow. And it's part, this choir then, it's part of Music for Life, right?
Yes, Music for Life is our parent organization. And the African Children's Choir falls under that umbrella and is our major fundraising arm of the organization.
So what kind of organization, I guess, is Music for Life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a faith-based, a nonprofit, humanitarian and relief organization. And our motto is helping Africa's most vulnerable children today so they can help Africa tomorrow. So we are trying to help educate as many children as we can, because that really is seen and is the primary way of breaking the cycle of poverty for tens of thousands of children who do not have access to education, because even a government school requires money for a uniform, for pencils, for paper. And the families that we're dealing with, the families that are represented by the children in the choir and the thousands of other children that are helped every year, they are not able to even go to a government school. So without education, very difficult to break that cycle of poverty. So that's where we're trying to stand in the gap. So without education, it's very difficult to break that cycle of poverty. And education is what every parent wants to give their child but can't, because of their economic situation. So we're really, the children that you see on the stage are really ambassadors for 1,000 or more children every year that are receiving an education from the work of the choir on the road. So not only are the children on the stage receiving an education, but 1,000 of their other friends or more are also receiving an education this year. We have 35 different educational programs that we support. And so they are just wonderful messengers and ambassadors for children just like them. And I think give a great representation of, we don't know the potential in any one of those children,
right,
you know, until they have an opportunity to actualize it. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to have people invest with us, invest in one life, give that one life a chance to actualize its potential, and who knows, you know, who knows what can happen from there.
So how do children then become, like, benefit from this program? How do they get into the program?
Essentially, we have nationals who work in the different communities and neighborhoods where we have our programs, and we work with churches, we work with schools, our schools, other schools, and it's really up to the nationals that work in that region to get the word out to families that are really in dire circumstances. We select on the basis of need, and so even though there is, quote, an audition process, it really is just helping us get to know which families could most use our help. Now there's, you know, there's dozens and hundreds of families that could use our help. And so it's not hard to find, but we have to narrow that down somehow. And so really we're going off the word of our locals who are in the communities and know these families. And then, we're just trying to identify who those families are that we could help the most.
So with this choir, you know, they tour like all over, and I'm just thinking like these children, you know, coming from like these poverty-stricken areas, like what is it like for them, like traveling outside of Africa and all these other countries, you know?
Yeah, you know, they know it's just for a short time. Also, African children are very used to being raised by people other than their immediate family. Any older person is considered an auntie or an uncle. Mm-hmm. And so the old proverb, you know, it takes a whole village to raise a child, is really accurate. It's really true. They expect any adult to raise them to learn how to do life. And so they really see this, the family and the child know that this is for a short time. And this, any child in the choir, they have their education now paid through the university level. So for a parent who can't provide education at all, this is a tremendous blessing. And so they are very anxious to provide that for their child and to allow their child to receive that education. And the children on tour, they just have a blast. I mean, our host families, our churches, they provide some of the most wonderful experiences for them. You know, they get to go to zoos and horseback riding and swimming and water parks and amusement parks and aquariums, and they get to do field trips to fire stations, and you know, their world of experience is just literally exploded while they're on tour. Their radius of experience might be 2 to 5 mile radius before they come on tour. After tour, they have seen and they have met so many people and experienced so many things. And so all of that serves to cast vision for the child and immerses them in English, which is critical for their education when they go back home. They have all of the testing, all of the education is in English. So immersion in English really sets them up beautifully to do well academically. And it's just a lot of fun. They have a great time.
I imagine.
The food. I just got a note from the team this morning. Snow was falling when the children woke up. Light snow, but snow nonetheless. And every child prays that they get to see snow when they're on tour. So their dream came true this morning. Their prayers were answered. So that was pretty pretty exciting for them.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of advantage does this put them at, like being able to tour and everything? I think mm-hmm. maybe you kind of mentioned it already, some of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, like the English advantage, the vision, just that they really can start to think, oh, I can do something with my life. I am not relegated to what I have only seen in my short life. I can start to dream. I can start to envision myself doing something more. I think spiritually, too, obviously we are a Christian organization. We want to breathe Christ into the lives of these children and have them give back and to live out the Christian faith in their communities. It's just not a 1 degree change in the trajectory of these lives. This is a 180 degree change. And, you know, they are really kind of destined to live a very meager, humble, a meal a day kind of existence with really not much access to medical care, to appropriate housing. And now they are given the chance to self-sustain, to be able to provide for themselves the basic necessities of life. And that's profound, you know? That is once they're part of African Children's Choir, they're part of a big family that looks after them for the rest of their lives. They're part of something very, this is not just a one and done, when they age out, then they're gone. This is part of a family that they become a part of. And so it's a very unique, I think we have some really neat, beautiful distinctives as an organization. And that's, you know, all of that, I think, is how it enhances the child's life.
I was kind of looking at the website, and I was looking at some former members of the choir, and something you said that reminded me that one of the stories that really touched me was a man who had never even gone to school before he started with the choir, and that gave him an opportunity, and now he's one of the three doctors who in that area who can, like, study kidneys. And I was like, wow, it's, you know, so amazing that these children are able to go on and, like you said, like, help and bless the lives of others in their communities.
Yeah.
I wondered, could you tell me then, so you guys are coming to Idaho.
Yes.
Where all are you performing at?
Yes, we'll be in Idaho Falls for a couple of concerts on November 14th and the 18th. We'll be in Pocatello the evening of the 18th. We're going over to the Boise area right before Thanksgiving and actually through Thanksgiving. We'll be, I guess that's all of them. So we'll be at Cross Point Community Church in Idaho Falls on November 14th, Wednesday at 7 p.m. We'll be at the Hope Lutheran Church Sunday morning, November 18th at 10 a.m. That evening, we'll go to Grace Lutheran Church in Pocatello for a concert at 7. And then we will be performing at Grace Lutheran Church in Caldwell the following Wednesday, the 21st, the day before Thanksgiving, and then follow up with concerts on Sunday, the 25th, Valley Shepherd Church of the Nazarene in Meridian, and then Ontario First Church of the Nazarene in Ontario, Oregon at 7 p.m. the evening of the 25th.
And up to this point, I realize we haven't even talked about, like, the music the choir sings. So I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about the music they perform. Like, what can an audience expect going to one of these choir concerts?
Yes. The program that we have just launched is brand new. It's called Just As I Am. And what we've done is we've taken familiar favorite hymns that have been sung for years and years in our churches and put them to African rhythms. We've collided the two worlds, and it is phenomenal. It's just a beautiful story that's being told throughout the course of the concert as well. There's a video that goes behind it, and really a beautiful story of what we're about and what our actual story is. And it's kind of told through the eyes of a child. There's also interviews with former choir members and how being in the choir has affected their lives and what that means for them today. So it's the program is very entertaining. The songs, the choreography, the dancing, the drumming, all of that still has that African children's choir feel. But there's some additional elements that we're really excited about, and I think audiences have responded really well. We're just about 2 months in, and we just received some great feedback on the program. And so lots of energy, lots of smiles, lots of beautiful colored costumes from, you know, ethnic costumes. And, of course, my favorite, just the ethnic drumming. I just love that. So it's a very engaging and inspiring program. You see the hope and the joy of the children come right off that stage. And I think it just kind of resonates with the soul of we as humans that we long for something more. And the children, I think, take us to that place for a short time. That quest, that desire for joy and for hope and purpose and meaning. And they're just so unassuming messengers, right? They're very innocent messengers. And I think people just receive from them like they maybe can't receive from others. So they're very effective in their message bringing.
And, yeah, so, like, speaking of that, what kind of a reaction then do you get from audiences where you have performed?
Yeah, the common comments are, if we could just bottle that energy, right? The children are very precious, and they, and our host families too, they really struggle letting them go. They really have a blessed time when they're in their homes because the children are just they're very polite. They're very appreciative. They're very simple in their play. Probably what we were like years ago, you know, in the U.S., and we've lost that maybe something due to technology and such. But, they're just such lovely people to be around, very energetic, very funny, very engaging. They really, their love language is time spent together, quality time. And that's lovely. They love people well.
Yeah. So if a person wants to go to this event, do they need to purchase tickets beforehand?
No, all of our concerts are love offering based, and so you don't need a ticket to come. But we do unashamedly ask people to give generously, to give what they can, and to not give to charity, but to give to a real life, to invest in a life, and allow the Lord to use your resources to make the life of someone else tremendously, profoundly different and better. And so we will take a love offering, and again, just ask people to come prepared for that and to give what the Lord would have them give.
Well, thank you. That's Tina Sipp with the African Children's Choir.